It is a joy to be here today, and I appreciate this opportunity. I appreciate Dr. Anderson and his heart for the Lord, his faithfulness through the years, and the heritage that you enjoy here, that you're drawing from and being helped with and instructed by. I thank God for that. I'm just so thankful for the Lord's faithfulness in my life. I grew up in a broken home, and I remember as a young boy, I was just walking through the house one day, and all the trouble, the struggle, the strife, the fussing, the fighting, the drinking and drugging. I looked up into the skies and, or just in my mind was thinking there as I walked inside, there's just got to be a better way to live than this. And I'm thankful this morning there is a better way. That's the theme of our children's home, the Shepherd's Place. God called me and my wife, our family, to Shining Light back in 1990. And we went there just wanting to follow the Lord and do His will. We went with two little boys. We ended up with seven boys and three girls. And now with 10 grandchildren, God has blessed us. I'm thankful for the Lord's faithfulness. God has been good to me. I remember when I was in Bible college and I was walking across the campus. I told two of our younger children, we rode through there the other day. We were in Winston-Salem for a basketball tournament for our youngest son, John. He's a senior in our academy. And we rode through the campus, and I said, I remember walking right this path here, and with a briefcase in my hand, a coat and tie on, as a young freshman in Bible college, just excited about my future. And I remember thinking clearly, I wonder where I'll be 5 years from now. And Piedmont had a five-year program. I'm glad they did at the time, because when I was in my fifth year as a senior, that's when Rebecca came in as a freshman. And God brought us together, and I remember our first time out off of campus is a man called me and said, I'm going to be out of town this week, and I'm looking for someone to fill the pulpit. My daughter plays the piano, and I'm looking for someone to play the piano. I said, I believe I know someone who plays the piano. And I had just met her. We got permission, and we went together. Our first time off campus, she played the piano and sung, and then I preached. Now, we've been doing that for all these years. She still is the church pianist, and I'm still preaching by the grace of God. And God has blessed us, and God has been faithful to us. I think that's the thing that is upon my heart today, is that God is faithful to you. And here you sit in Bible college thinking about your future, your life ahead, and just as I did, and I was wondering, I was grappling, you know. Spurgeon said, people have a heart for God, they mourn their own weaknesses. And so I was grappling with my own insufficiencies and shortcomings and how undeserving I was and the past that I came out of and all these type things. All of that was continually just stirring and wrangling within my heart. But I would always come down on the side of God's promises and the fact that He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I would always come down to the side of, but this is what God said. Now, I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm feeling right now, but this is what God said. And I would encourage you this morning, no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've faced, what you've done, no matter where you're at today, I would encourage you to, whatever you're going through, to always come down to the side of what God says in His Word. We're not to lean to our own understanding. We get in trouble when we do that. And we can get turned aside, and we think one thing, but God says another. Go with what God says. I remember one day, I didn't feel God, I didn't sense God, I didn't see God at work in my life. I thought, Lord, where are you? And then it dawned on me. So this is faith. I don't feel God. I don't sense God. I don't see what God is doing. In fact, everything circumstantially and every sentiment within says God is not at work, or God has somehow chosen to overlook you because you're not worthy, and I felt totally abandoned. But then I thought, well, this is what faith is then. Faith is not just coming down on the side of what I'm thinking or feeling right now. It's coming down on the side of what God said and acting in accordance to what God said. Thus saith the Lord. And I want to encourage you today, if you'll follow the path of God's Word, His Word will be a lamp under your feet. It will show you where you are and a light under your path. It'll show you where you're to go. And as you walk in God's light, He'll give you more light. And as you get more light, the Bible says the path of the just is as the shining light. that shineth more and more into the perfect day. It'll become clearer and clearer as the noonday sun as to this is what God wants and this is God's will for my life. But walk in the light you have now. You want all the light. Walk in the little light you have. And let this little light of yours shine and bloom where you're planted. Where you are, be all there. And put your heart in it. I remember Bible college thinking sometimes the world needs Christ and I'm in class. I need to get out of class. I need to get out of school. I need to get out here into the fields that are white in the harvest. I've got a job to do for God. And God says, this is my job that I'm going to accomplish through you. I'm going to prepare you first. A call to preach, a call to serve is a call to prepare. And we have to be prepared. We have to be ready. And by the way, that's an ongoing process. God is always preparing us for His work. That's what God is doing now. I remember being in a trial. And I was sincere. And I said, Lord, I know that trials are meant to cause us to love You more. One aspect of trials in our lives. And with all of my heart, I said, Lord, as best I know, I love You wholeheartedly right now. And I don't know why You're putting me through this. And if I was You, Lord, I don't believe I would do this to me. And I was just as sincere as I could be. And one of the great lessons that God has taught me along life's way, you say, what have you learned since you were saved and called to preach in 1981 as a senior in high school, went off to Bible college that fall? What have you learned? I'll tell you what I've learned. You could summarize my life in just these words. I have learned that He is God and I am not. He is God, and I am not. His ways are much higher than my ways. His ways are greater than my ways. That's why I want to come down to the side of what He says in His Word. Do what He says in His Word. His ways are better than my ways. As for God, His way is perfect. And I would challenge you this morning. Allow God to bring you to a place to where you simply believe with all of your heart. Not mom, not dad, not pastor, not professor, but your heart. You believe, as for God, His way is the best way for me. I want to go God's way. I want to do God's will. Growing up like I did, that's one thing that preserved me in the temptations that were around me. It preserved me in the sense that I thought, I believe there's a God in heaven. I believe He put me in this world for a reason. And I want to find out what I'm here for. I really, with all of my heart, wanted to discover that, to delight in that, and then do what God created me to do. And so I'm thankful. I look at my children, I say, you were God's will for my life. God gave you to me and your mother. And the ministry that God's called us to has not been easy. Oh, there have been many trials, but God has been faithful. This is where God has me for my life. God has a plan for your life. Oh, if that would get a hold of us, if we would get a hold of that, God has me here for a reason. This serving God is not some kind of just mere obligation or duty that has its place, but it is a delight. David said, I delight to do Thy will, O God. You can delight in doing God's will. With that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 27. And we're going to look here at verse 10. And I want you to follow along, if you will, Psalm 27. These are precious verses to me because God used them to teach me a very valuable lesson in my life. David here is afraid. Where do we turn? Where do we go when we're afraid? We don't lean to our own understanding. We turn to God. We look to God. We lean on Him. We hold fast to His promise. We'll find Him holding fast to us when we do. The Bible speaks of those in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 who by faith obtained promises. That means they held to the promise of God until the promise of God was fully realized on their behalf. They held to the promise of God and found the God of the promise holding to them. God sustained them. You read there in the book of Hebrews, that Hall of Faith chapter, and you find those who God wrought great works through their lives by faith. But then there were those who had faith in God, and the Bible speaks of them as, and others. they were not delivered. They suffered greatly. But why did they continue? Why? Because their faith in God was real. And I ask you this morning, is your faith in God real? Are you confident in God's Word? When I was in high school, I studied. I thought I'm going to do something with my life. I don't want to throw it away. I thought I'm going to apply myself. I did. I had an academic scholarship, an opportunity to go to school. And I thought, wow, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to make me some money. I'm going to do something productive with my life. Right in the middle of that, God saved me. God called me to preach. And then I'm thinking, wow, where do I go? What do I do? And God truly brought me to the place to where I believe that God's way was the best way for me. An investment of my life in doing God's will, wherever that took me, whatever that cost me, I would have the opportunity to give my life and to invest it in something that would never die. For he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If we lose our lives, the Bible says, for Christ, we'll do what? We'll gain it. It'll come back to us in ways that we never imagined, in ways that only God could effect, not us. But God would do that. But if we keep our lives, we'll lose it. There's so many things that we'll let go of in time that we thought would be ours forever. The Bible says here, when we look to the Lord, when our confidence is in Him, we're reminded, Psalm 27 and verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That was a verse that applied to my life. When my mother and father abandoned me, the word is to leave, to loosen, to let go of. When they just let go of my life, when they walk out, God walks in. The Bible says, then the Lord will take me up. Together is the thought. God will gather me. They said, I'm going to let go of you. God says, well, no, I'm going to take hold of you. I'm preaching this morning on the God who makes up the difference in our lives. This is a great life lesson that God has taught me from His Word. And just briefly, I want to give you some verses along this line. When my mother and father forsake me, when they let go of me, the Lord will take hold of me and gather me unto Himself. When others walk out, He steps in. There's a God in heaven who is faithful to you no matter when others are not faithful to you. He will always be faithful to you. You can count on Him. He's a God who will come through for you. He's a God who will make up the difference. I prayed one day, Lord, my family is so dysfunctional, and it was. I said, Lord, would you give me a family of my own one day? I never thought He'd give me and my wife 10 children. He gave us much more than we ever asked for. We never even planned it like, hey, we want to have a big family, we want to have 10 children. No, God just blessed us. And boy, I rejoice in it. I thank God for it. But God has given me so much more in Christ than I lost in this life, in my family, through my circumstance. I have so much in Christ. And you know what? Even if He didn't bless me in this life, with a family or materially in so many other ways, the fact that I have Christ is more than enough. Do you know that the reward of the Christian life is just that? It's Jesus Christ who walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. He's a wonderful Savior. Oh, and the more I go, the more I realize that this call to preach is a call to, unto Him, Mark chapter 3, to be with Him, to walk with Him, to commune with Him. And in Christ, He is my all in all. When others walk out, you can write this word down, if you will, in our separations, the God who makes up the difference in our separations, be it parents, be it anyone else who would walk out on us and say, I'm done with you. I'm going to let go of you. God says, well, I'll take you up. What they didn't want, I value. So much so, you're not only made in my image, but Jesus died for you. If you're here this morning, you don't feel of much worth or value, see yourself through the eyes of God. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm much worth because people that I loved and looked to, they disappointed me. Sometimes they deserted me. Sometimes they even said that they didn't want me in their lives. God wants you. God will take you. God will take you up. God will make up the difference. I thought people would tell me, well, Tim, what you grew up in, I tell you, if you just had a chip on your shoulder and you were mad at the world, no one could blame you. And I thought about that one day as a young man. I thought, well, what would sympathy get me when I'm hungry and I'm lonely and I'm cold? Because that's the way I grew up. Hungry, lonely, and cold. I thought, sympathy won't get me anything. I don't need sympathy. I don't need to play the victim. I don't need to go through life and say, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how I was treated. You don't know how I was abandoned when I was a young man. I don't want to go through life as a victim. Why would I do that when I can look to Christ and be a victor? When I can be more than a conqueror? When rather than being overcome with evil, I can overcome with good. I can rise above it. There's a God in heaven who is greater than any suffering, any sorrow, any separation that I faced in this life. God is with us. He makes up the difference in our separations. Just look quickly. Let me show you just, I will walk through these. If you'll follow with me, Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. I was praying sometime back and, oh, the Lord knows where I was and what I needed. Isaiah 38. I was in a time of true suffering. Mental, emotional, physical anguish. And I read this in Isaiah 38 about Hezekiah was sick unto death. God said, you're going to die. Set your house in order. He prayed until the Lord God saw his tears, heard his prayer, according to verse 5 of Isaiah 38. And God gave him an extension of days, 15 years. But then through verse 9 and following, he recounts the prayer that he prayed during that time of anguish and distress, that time of suffering. And the last part of verse 14, he said, O Lord, I am oppressed. I'm distressed. I'm anguished. I'm underneath it, Lord. I'm heavy laden. I'm loaded down in my spirit. Undertake for me. I begin to meditate upon that and study that word undertake. If you'll study it, you'll find that the word undertake has the thought of like to be a guarantor, as in a cosigner. What does a cosigner do? A cosigner says, all right, Mr. Banker, if this person here, for whatever reason, comes up short, I'll step in on his behalf and I'll make up the difference. I'm good for it. Isn't that what a cosigner says? Says, I'm a guarantor. I'll guarantee this debt will be attended to and taken care of. That's what Hezekiah was praying here in the book of Isaiah. He was asking the Lord to step in and to make up the difference. He had gone as far as he could go, and he was coming up short. God, would you undertake for me? I've gone as far as I can go, God. Would you make up the difference for me? We serve the God this morning who makes up the difference for us. The God who does what we cannot do. We do all that we can. He does what we can't. There's a God who is able. There is nothing too hard for him. He said, Lord, my life is ending. It's over. Lord, but I just wasn't ready to die. I had so many other things I wanted to do. God, would you help for me? And Lord, somehow undertake on my behalf. And God says, all right, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I'm going to give you 15 more years. There's a God in heaven who hears and answers prayers. He can undertake for you. I remember in Bible college a professor saying, where faith could no longer wade, or reason, rather, that's when faith begins to swim. Where reason could no longer wade, faith begins to swim. We take God at His word. Some things we can understand. Some things we can't fully grasp. We can go so far out into the water of understanding. And then faith begins to swim. You know what? We trust God and take God at His word, And we know that there's a promise that God has given us, that no matter who we are and what we're facing at this given moment, He can make up the difference. That's what he prayed. Lord, undertake for me. I remember we had a financial need over Thanksgiving. We were in the middle of expanding our auditorium and some things, and we had a need by 5 o'clock on Monday. It was $35,000. And over Thanksgiving break, while everybody was enjoying turkey, I was crying out to God, Lord, I am oppressed. I'm underneath it here, Lord. Would you undertake for me? You know, it's amazing how God not only heard that cry, but by Monday afternoon, we had $70,000 in the bank, twice as much as we needed. God is able. I've seen God work in my life. God wants to work in your life so that you're convinced God is real in my life. God is personal to me. Nothing is real until it's personal. And God wants to teach us those things. 2 Chronicles, turn back there. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Amaziah was reigning over Judah. They were gathering men to go against Edom. They had their men. They hired some mercenaries from the northern tribes of Israel. But God sent a prophet to say, don't take those men that you've hired with you for 100 talents of silver. And so Amaziah said in verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 25, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Sometimes to do what's right, to obey God, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to do what's right. But you have to know, I have to know, there's a God in heaven who will honor our faith and obedience. He will step in on our behalf and make up the difference. He said, but what about this 100 talents of silver? We're just going to lose it all if we do what God said. He said, the Lord's able to give you much more than this. You can't outgive the Lord. You will not sacrifice too much for Him, the one who sacrificed His all for you. It will cost us to serve God. There's no painless way to follow Christ. But we'll enter into the very fellowship of His sufferings, knowing that God will take care of us. How are we going to have 10 children and care for them? Well, we're going to look to God. And God has met every need. We had some people step out on us some years back in the middle of some of our building projects. And one man looked at me and he said, Pastor, I was just wondering, how are you going to finish these projects without our money? And I said, we'll have to trust God. And trust God we did. And in the Lord's time, He sent a couple, and said, give us these projects here and we'll finish them. And they did. No cost to us. Do what's right, because it's right. It will cost you at times to do what's right. People tried to will their house to me and to my wife, and I said, that belongs to your children. That's their inheritance. I can't take it. The papers are drawn up, preacher. Go by the lawyer's office and sign the papers. I said, listen, I just don't have a clear conscience to do that. I'm just going to leave that with God. I can't tell you how God has blessed us. So many times, I believe if you get to a place to where you're seeking God, you don't have to always seek gold, because if you seek God, He'll give you the gold that you need to do the work He's called you to do. I believe that and I've seen it. God will make up the difference in our separations, our sufferings, our supply. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do it in our strength. Mark this reference, we won't turn there. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What happens in our weakness? Our weakness drives us into the presence of God and into the presence of His strength. We exchange there our weakness for His strength. God makes up the difference. God strengthens us. God quickens us. God enables us. And then lastly, the God who makes up the difference in our salvation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ stepped in on our behalf and he spanned the gulf. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We could only reach up so high, but not high enough. And when we could not reach up to God, he reached down to us in Christ. And Christ made up the difference. I'm telling you, dear people, there's a God in heaven who is not only the difference maker, but he will make up the difference in your life. Whatever lack, whatever want you face, look to him. Lean on him. You have a wonderful heritage, family, church home, this place here. Thank God for it. People investing, people have gone on before you, digging wells that you can draw from now. Oh, keep those wells cleaned so that others who come after you can draw from them. Thank God for them and just embrace the heritage that God has given you, because you are in the heritage of the servants of the Lord, the God of heaven who is faithful to his people, the God of heaven who has proved himself time and again to many of us and wants to do so to you. When I was talking to my great uncle some time back, he said, "Tim, did I ever tell you about your great grandmother?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "You and your little brother were playing in her barnyard. We were probably about 4, 5, 6 years old. Years ago," he said, "your great grandmother looked up at me and said, 'Bud, do you see those two little Cruz boys there?' And he said, 'Yes, Mama.' She said, 'I'm praying that God will save both of them and call them to preach.'" I told you about my family. Told you about some of the things that we went through many dangerous toils and snares. You know what? It was the grace of God that reached down and saved me. The grace of God that reached down and saved my brother. It was the grace of God that called me to preach. Called him to preach. And by the grace of God, he's kept us preaching these years. I pastor at Shining Light. He pastors at Heritage Baptist in Concord. There's a God in heaven. He's faithful to you. May he help us today to believe him, to trust him, and to be faithful to him. He will make up the difference no matter who you are, where you've been, what challenges you face right now. You say, "I am so insufficient." You're in a good place. Look away from yourself to the one who is all sufficient. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless it to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for being so faithful, so trustworthy, Lord, such a great God. Bless these dear young people, the faculty, the staff, Dr. Anderson, his family. Thank you for the wonderful heritage, those who've gone before them here. Lord, may you bless them. And Lord, may your hand be upon them. Be with those who perhaps are wavering, who are drawn away by this world and all that it has to offer. Oh, help them to see in Christ there's so much more than this world could ever give. Oh, God, convince us now in this day. We commit ourselves and this message from your word to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.